To be by a class of men with a poor fund of knowledge, Rather, they are different spiritual centers of meditation of the transcendental limbs of the body of Vishnu. The worshipable deity in the temple of Vishnu is identical with Lord Vishnu by the inconceivable potency of the Lord. Therefore, a neophyte's concentration or meditation upon the limbs of Vishnu in the temple, as contemplated in the revealed scriptures, is an easy opportunity for meditation for persons who are unable to sit down tightly at one place and then concentrate upon pranav omkar, or the limbs of the body of Vishnu, as recommended herein by Sukadeva Goswami, the great authority. The common man can benefit more by meditating on the form of Vishnu in the temple than on the omkar, the spiritual combination of om, as explained before. There is no difference between omkar and the forms of Vishnu, but persons unacquainted with the science of the absolute truth try to create dissension by differentiating between the forms of Vishnu and that of omkar. Here it is indicated that the Vishnu form is the ultimate goal of meditation, and as such it is better to concentrate upon the forms of Vishnu than on impersonal omkar. The latter process is also more difficult than the former. Om Gyanati Madhyamista Inukyanasimakara Shakshomya Tamyena Tasmai Shri Gurudeva Shri Chaitanya Manurista Sakitamyena Swayam Vipakodamaya Kadati Sakitamyena Mukam Karoti Vashyam Pandana Vajiri Yad Shri Vimutimu Kharana Pancha Kalpa Vibhishya Kripa Sindhya Eva Chalpa Patitanam Bhavnevyo Vaishnavisho Namo Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivastava Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna. So here, Sukadeva Goswami continues with Maharaj Parikshit, giving a brief description of the omkar or pranav sound vibration, which is a sound representation of Lord Vishnu or Krishna. So Sukadeva Goswami here is explaining, of course, not just for the benefit of Maharaj Parikshit, but also for us. It is clearly explained in the later chapters that it wasn't necessary for Parikshit Maharaj to ask about the universal form or the pranav, which is indirect representation of Krishna, because he had understood that the absolute truth is a person. So all these questions that he's asking for the common man, those who have been acquainted with the absolute truth. And in that way, they can gradually not only start appreciating the opulences of Krishna in terms of the material elements or the sound vibration, so that they can gradually come to understand that Krishna is a person, that the absolute truth is a person. So here we're hearing about meditation on the limbs of Krishna, on the limbs of Vishnu specifically, without being deviated from the conception of the complete body. So we understand that all the material elements, all the energy, spiritual and material, they are coming from Krishna. Everything is resting upon Krishna. As Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita, Atāparātramanyat kinchidasitanandaya marisāviram pratam śrīkriyamaniganāyaka. And O Humble, wealth is no true superior. To me, everything is resting upon me as it holds a strong thread. So the Supreme Personality of Godhead is transcendental to all material conceptions, yet he maintains the material domain and the spiritual patterns, and that is one who knows this supreme truth can actually become liberated from the attachment of the most material nature. So there is no truth superior to Krishna. Krishna is the end of all understanding. So the point of meditating on the limbs of Vishnu gives us an understanding that the absolute truth, the Supreme Person, has a transcendental form. Of course, not a form made of matter, not a form that is similar to what we have right now. His form is always Satchidananda Vigraha, including when he does descend into the material sphere. He descends in his self-same body, and all his senses are interchangeable. His name, his body is none different. So by chanting or by chanting Hare Krishna, we are directly associating with Krishna. His name and form are none different. So it is being recommended here by Sukadeva Goswami that it is, as Srila Prabhupada stresses in the purport, however, that it is more beneficial for the common man to meditate on the form of Vishnu in the temple than it is to focus on the Omkar sound vibration, because that can easily divert one's attention from understanding the personal aspect of the Supreme. And because the common person or the most persons in Kali Yuga haven't been acquainted with the science of the Absolute, for them it is very easy to separate Krishna from everything. But a devotee, however, or one who has knowledge of Bhagavad Gita, who has knowledge of transcendence, understands that Krishna is the source of all energies and nothing can be separate from Krishna. So everything that we do is always directly connected to Krishna. We do not lose or forget the complete form of the Lord at any point in time. Even when we are trying to analyze or trying to understand Krishna through the material cosmos, the creation, how the natural elements come into being, what Prakriti is, what Mahatattva is, the time factor, the three modes of material nature, all of this we use, keeping in mind, of course, that the complete form of the Lord is the source of all these energies, and that we focusly try to divert our attention to the personal form of the Lord, specifically Lord Krishna. Srila Prabhupada mentions that in the purport, that the original form of Vishnu Tattva is Govinda, or Lord Krishna, the source of all, the form of all causes. So that is the main focus of this purport, that Sukadeva Goswami is focusing on the personalism as compared to the impersonalism that might be understood by people uttering Omkar or by those focusing on the universal form of the Lord. So the mind here, Manaha, Chaitasa, by the mind, Manaha, the mind itself, and at the end as well, Manayatra, Siddhati, that the mind's activities are reconciled once they are placed or engaged in the service of Krishna. That only our mind becomes satisfied and pacified when we engage the mind in service of Rishikesh, the master of the senses. And in the Bhagavad Gita, of course, Krishna is saying that of the senses, he is the mind. So the mind is meant to be engaged in the service of Krishna. So the mind is a pivotal point for us because that is the beginning of where our desires begin. We start contemplating the objects of the senses, we develop attachment for them, and when those attachments, of course, are not fulfilled, there's some anger that arises, some dissatisfaction, and our intelligence, of course, is non-active. We become destructive, we cannot discriminate, etc. And that is how we remain in the conditioned stage of life. So the mind is to be trained and it is to be used in devotional service. So this constant meditation upon the limbs of the Lord can be understood for us specifically when we, of course, when we have darshan and focusing on the transcendental form of the Lord. But it is also when we study the pages of the Srimad Bhagavatam, that the Bhagavatam from the first canto up to the 10th canto, of course, we understand it is the smiling face of Krishna. So we are gradually being elevated in understanding of the transcendental nature of Krishna. So beginning with the first canto, beginning with his lotus feet, we are actually meditating on the qualities of Krishna, beginning with creation, sub-creation, etc. So it is a proper way of meditating on the Supreme Lord's body.
We do not specifically meditate on the universal form as we understand that is a temporary manifestation. What is being advised here by the great authority Sukadeva Goswami is that we focus on the Vishnu form of the Lord, on Govinda, on Krishna, as the supreme cause of all causes. And because our mind is generally conducted by the world of passion and ignorance, our mind is always agitated by the mode of passion, and our mind is bewildered by the mode of ignorance. So with these two modes, our mind becomes, our mind becomes ambushed, our mind becomes trapped, and with the mode it is difficult for us to break through without attaching ourselves to an energy or a person who is above, who is not intricated or who is not touched by the modes of determination. So if the nature of passion and ignorance is to bewilder and agitate, it becomes difficult for one to, of course, have a steady mind and to appreciate the transcendental qualities of Krishna. So indirectly, of course, Krishna's mercy and the mercy of the great acharyas, they teach different methods. They teach pranayama, they teach yastanga yoga system, or there's different paths that have been paved out of the Vedic text so that people slowly start appreciating Krishna indirectly up to a point where they are elevated from the lower modes and they can come to accept Krishna in his personal aspect, to accept Krishna in his Sachit Ananda form. So, when the mind is being used in Krishna's service, everything becomes reconciled. All the knowledge that we have, all the understanding is naturally flowing towards the qualities of Krishna. So, in the first paragraph of the Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada mentions a very important point that one should not, however, forget or be misled from the complete form of the Lord. So, Prabhupada mentioned this in the beginning, and at the end he's stressing that the ultimate goal of meditation, of course, is meditation on Vishnu, on the form of Vishnu, and it is much easier for conditioned souls in Kali Yuga to be able to perceive our form of the Lord and understanding that the goal of the yoga system is attainment of our original consciousness in relation to Krishna, such as in the form of Krishna. This is much easier than trying to understand Krishna through an impersonal sound vibration. So, for some of us, we might like to sit down strictly and chant and meditate, but for the majority of people in Kali Yuga, this is a very difficult task. There's lack of taste. Before we even get to the taste, the nature of the mind in Kali Yuga is very unadvantageous for spiritual advancement. The mind of those who are living in Kali Yuga is very agitated most of the time. People have become lazy for spiritual advancement. So we're always disturbed. We do not have attraction for spiritual advancement. The mind is unsteady. It is flickering by nature. So with this type of mind, it becomes difficult to sit down and try to meditate. Our senses are always jumping towards the sense objects. So the best procedure, of course, when we have a beautiful form of the Lord in front of us, it is easy for our body to get absorbed in the transcendental form. Just as when we have darshan, it is very easy for us to accept and perceive Krishna than just hearing a sound representation of him. But what happens in after the mind has become conditioned in Kali Yuga for countless births, we become attracted to beautiful things, to sense stimulation, especially seeing. The potency of seeing is very strong, it's very encapsulating. So when we see the beautiful form of Krishna, Not only does it attract us, but it becomes easier for our mind to perceive of the transcendental form of Krishna. So the mind becomes attracted to the form as compared to being attracted just to sound. This is in Kali Yuga. Of course, in such a yuga, it was very natural for people to meditate for 60,000 years. They had the potency, they had the ability to focus, they had steady drishti, they could focus for long periods on sound vibration. But in Kali Yuga, this is very difficult. We cannot even concentrate for more than 7 minutes. We have to be stimulated by different things. On the television, etc., there's always different ads coming on every 7 minutes just to relax people and bring their attention back to the next session of the program. So it is difficult for the mind to remain still. Therefore, Prabhupada is explaining that the impersonal omkar is more difficult to perform and try to achieve a personal understanding of the Lord as compared to the meditation of the Vishnu form in the temple. So Prabhupada is promoting that we adhere to meditating on the personal form of the Lord. So the mercy of Srimad Bhagavatam, of course, the mercy of the Acharyas, they give us different means and different ways to try to understand Krishna, the Supreme Eternal. So later on, Sukadeva Goswami will discuss with Maharaj Pariksit as well about the Virat form of the universal form of Krishna. And in the Bhagavad Gita, in the chapter entitled Universal Form and Opulences of the Absolute, we can see how in nature or in different elements we can understand how Krishna is the common thread. He is the source of all these manifestations. And having that understanding that Krishna is the source of the manifestations, and having the understanding that these manifestations are eternally coming from Krishna, we can never separate Krishna from the equation. And the more common men understand that fact, the easier it will be for them to understand the Satchitananda existence of Krishna. But if we remove Krishna from understanding, for example, the material elements, how the creation of the universe came into being, the creation of material elements, when we remove Krishna from that, we're left with an impersonal understanding. We're left with a theory, or different theories that tell us that everything came by chance, or everything is created at a certain time, and in the end, when the body dies, that's the end of everything. We are not eternal. We do not have souls. We're just existing temporarily. So this type of mentality, of course, is atheistic in nature. And this is due to removing Krishna from the source of the creation. So it is very important to underline this line that Srila Prabhupada has mentioned, that we shouldn't be misled from the complete form of the Lord. That yes, Krishna is in his original form, Govinda, Swayam Bhagavan. He's a cowherd boy, he has a flute in his hand, he has a bugle, he wears a peacock feather, he's wearing a yellow dhoti, silk yellow dhoti. Still, that does not deviate us from the fact that Krishna is the Supreme Person. He is the maintainer of everything. Matter and spirit. He is the source of the two natures. Right? All that is in the material and all that is in the spiritual world. Krishna explained that, understand that I am the source. And the importance of us gradually meditating on Krishna's lotus feet up to the smiling face, where we have a complete understanding of this personality, Krishna. In the beginning, of course, if we do not have the understanding of his supremacy, if we don't have the understanding of his majesty over the material and spiritual domains, we do not fully appreciate his personality. We'll think if some mythological character will think the pastime of Krishna are vocal. Even in the Judeo-Christian understanding, there is the understanding of God as the omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent. So there's this mood of awe and reverence that is created in the believers or those who accept God's existence. And that is essential for us as well, and that is why we study Bhagavatam from the beginning cantos, because the beginning cantos are giving us explanations of creation, of sub-creation, of the different types of manifestations, how the Lord gives shelter, so many different aspects of Krishna in His Supreme Majesty, so that we do not become familiar and whimsical with Krishna as we advance and as we progress. So it is important for us to understand all these concepts, all these beginning stages of the meditation of Vishnu, meditation on Krishna. We understand His energies, all His shaktis in full, and that will create a mood in us to appreciate Krishna fully. Because if we do not understand His glory and His majesty, we will think it is a wonderful storyline that has been delineated in the pages of Krishna book or in the Bhagavad Gita. We'll think it's very nice. Krishna was on the chariot with Arjuna. He was driving it. He picked up a wheel. We'll think this is very nice of Krishna, but we won't really grasp the potency of that Supreme Lord on whom everything rests, acts as a simple friend, He acts as a messenger, He acts as a charity for His devotee. So having known Krishna's type by His truth, we get to appreciate his rasa, we get to appreciate His leela even more, because we understand that He is so powerful, and yet He is captured by the love of His devotees. So it is understand to cultivate this understanding of the Vishnu titles, cultivate the understanding of Krishna and how He manifests in this material cosmos. And then when we hear of Krishna's wonderful pastimes, His dealing with His devotees, we are struck with wonder about the nature of His personality. And we understand that yes, He is supreme. Everything is resting in Him. Everything stems from Him. All the material elements, all these spiritual potencies are coming from Krishna. So all these Vishnu forms, the different expansions of Krishna, they are not idol worship. When we come to the temple for the first time, maybe some of us might have thought this is idol worship, especially if you're coming from a non-Hindu background where you understand the concept of deity. But these Vishnu forms, of course, are being given with knowledge from the Vedas. They're being given with the Pancharatika system of worshipping, of installation, and there is direct perception, there is reciprocation between the Lord and His devotee. Hence we offer prasada, we offer different items to the Lord for our purification of, well, we get the mercy, we get the remnant from the Supreme Lord. So this is a science that has been created, it is a science that has been, it is a process that has been given in the Vedic texts, in the Vedic literatures, and that process, if followed, one gets the full understanding of the personality of Krishna. We do not think that Krishna or the deity is just an idol, someone that you go for to try and get something from, or he's just made up of stone or wood, etc. But we understand that the Lord has enough potency to manifest Himself in those elements and reciprocate with us, because we do not have, in our nirvana stage, we do not have the ability and the conviction and the faith to understand that Krishna is none different, and we also He is the same Krishna that we read about in Krishna. So gradually over time, after serving the personal form of the Lord, our mind becomes reconciled. Our mind becomes completely in union with Him. We understand that yes, He is such Chit Ananda. His form is eternal, this full of knowledge and bliss. And the more we serve Krishna,
with the person's understanding, the more this realization will come about. And all our imperfections, or our misleading understanding, or our mentality to want to remove Krishna from the equation of everything in life will be smashed. So the worshipful deity in the temple is identical with Lord Vishnu because he has inconceivable potency. That means every single thing is coming from Krishna. Krishna can manifest himself in any form that he likes because his potencies are inconceivable. So his limbs, of course you understand, this is Krishna's limbs are interchangeable. Krishna doesn't have to eat with his mouth. Krishna can just eat with his eyes. Krishna doesn't have to create with his hands or impregnate in the way that people know impregnation to happen. You understand that Krishna, through his Vishnu expansion, he just glances over Prakriti, he glances over material energy, and that is how he impregnates. So this is inconceivable, of course, this is not normal functioning of a material personality or of a material body. Absolutely inconceivable. So our concentration can actually focus on that inconceivable person, and it can only be Krishna. No one can manufacture such wonderful abilities. Only Krishna can act in this way. Therefore, for the common man to be able to understand this, we present Krishna in a certain way, we teach people about Krishna in a certain way, through explaining to them what the Omkar is, it is a sound presentation, explaining the Brahman effulgence, how everything is maintained by Krishna's energy, the gravity, all the planets are in orbit and they're maintained by Krishna's energy. And people gradually start appreciating that potency of Krishna, and gradually there will be a short of understanding the transcendental body, the transcendental nature of Krishna. So it all rests upon educating common people about the potencies of Vishnu, and they will appreciate it. And that is how their mind will become free from all sense gratification and free from sense objects. It will become fixed on understanding the personality of Krishna. So, in order for us to understand Krishna in full, for devotees specifically, we get rid of this agitation and this bewilderment potency from Rajagun and Tamagun. We fix ourselves on lotus feet of Krishna, and that is how we escape the bewilderment and the agitation of material existence. So gradually we will hear Sukadeva Goswami explain to Parikshit Maharaj, for our benefit, for our pleasure, how the Supreme Lord is the omnipotent, how he is the transcendental being, keeping everything and maintaining all different energies. And that by contacting him through the deity form, or through the deity worship process, we're able to actually ascertain his complete form as a person, such Chit Ananda. We are not misled by removing Krishna from matter. We do not remove Krishna from spirit, we do not remove him from matter. We understand that he is maintaining everything. He is the common thread that holds everything together. So in that way we become elevated in our understanding, we become elevated in our existence as human beings by understanding our source, our connection, the link, and how to re-establish that connection. So I'll stop here and I'll ask if there's any comments.
Okay, thank you very much. Thank you, Rashi. Thank you.
Thank you.